Good morning and welcome to chapel this morning. Special welcome if you're new or a visitor. This morning we have our old friend once again with us, Eric.
Yeah,
I was playing straight man there, I thought you'd like that. No stranger to us is he, and with him as always is Carolyn. Thank you for playing. This morning's reading is going to be from John 1, and we're looking at verses 19 to 34. And the title for today is Pointing the Way to Jesus. So we look forward to what Eric has prepared along those lines. Thanks to Jeff, who is away now for 3 Sundays, for the all-important prayer diary. We've got a couple of physical copies there. By all means, take them, even if you've got an electronic copy to your email, because good, you can pop that on the side or on the fridge and remember to think of various dear folk. Just one notice to highlight, it's this Tuesday, so that is the 13th, 7:30 at Barry and Jenny's. So thank you, Barry and Jenny, for your hospitality for that. So as we hand over to Eric, shall we open this morning's service in prayer? So we pray. So, dear Lord, we praise and thank you for all your goodness to us in this week, for the sunny weather and our beautiful countryside. And thank you for this opportunity once again to meet together in your name. Bless this morning's offerings, we pray, as we give back to you just a little of what's already yours. Thank you, Lord, for Claire's ongoing treatment and for Jim's strength and care for her. And we just bring all the doctors and nurses before you, fill them with knowledge and understanding. And we just particularly pray for travelling mercies for Jim this week as he moves greatly around the country all week. And we pray for safety and clear roads and your clear direction too. And just be with Eric and Carolyn now as we pray, as they minister to us. Help us with your Holy Spirit to understand your word and your plan for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Nick. Right. Well, to prove that I'm not an old man, which I am an old man, I've got an extra announcement here, if I can give it to you. You may not be interested in it, actually, but maybe you may know somebody else who's interested in it. But James sent this to me and asked me if I could give it around and give it out. I'm going on it, if that's anything to go by. It's called The Gathering. It's a men's weekend together. And if there's any men who would like to come, if you'd like to see me, it's camping. Okay? It's but it's really for a good time together, and they do all sorts of things that, you know, men do. Tournaments and lively comedy and five-a-side and huge inflatables you get inside. All these sort of things. It's in 2 weeks' time. And if anybody would like to go, any men, there's one condition on this. There is no woman, no wives, or no mother-in-laws allowed to go. It's completely men, okay? Completely men. And if anybody's, any men interested, or if you know any men that you could recommend, come and see me, because James has got some extra tickets, and he wants to use up. And also, if they come and see me, we can work out transport and all that. And also, he's got loads and loads of camping equipment. That's no problem at all. So that's an extra announcement. So you see me going in and out of a tent, which should be some good fun. Absolutely right. 367 is our opening hymn, and it's Jesus is Lord, creation's voice proclaims it. And then I think we'll stand and sing the next one as well, which is 696. So keep your finger in 696. Oh no, you watch it up here, don't you? Yeah. Right. Jesus is Lord, creation voice proclaims it, for by his power each tree and flower was planned and made. Jesus is Lord, the universe declares it, sun, moon and stars in heaven, why Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Praise him with hallelujahs, for Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, yet from his throne eternal. Thank you. So we're going to pray and we're just going to say, Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you have created all things. And by your will they all exist. And by your will we exist. And we were created by you. And you are worthy, O Christ, for you were slain for us. And you died for us. And by your blood you ransomed us. And we come this morning and we just return to you our most grateful thanks. We know, Father, that you are worthy, that every tribe and every nation and every tongue and every people will one day come and bow before your throne. We thank you that you have called people from every nation and every tribe and every tongue to come and to serve you and to proclaim that you are the King of Glory. And we come this morning and we give all our praise and all our thanks and pour out our hearts before you and before your throne. And we just say, Lord, that you have blessed us abundantly as a people. We look back over this past week and we've seen all that you have given to us. And we appreciate it so much. We thank you that you have walked this way with us. And that when we've perhaps stumbled or when we found it difficult, when we found it hard going, that you have been there with us. And we just thank you for it. And we know that there is no one like you, O Lord our God. You are majestic in holiness. You are awesome in glory. You're working out your wonders in our lives and in the lives of your people. And you have an unfailing love for us. And you will strengthen us and keep us in your love and blessing. And so we just commend this time together, Lord. We ask that you will open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things from your word. And that each one of us may just learn something more of yourself as we come here this morning. As we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Linda, are you going to do the reading for us? Lovely. That's fine. Thank you.
John 1:19-34. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you a prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord." Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me. I am the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man comes after me, has surpassed me because he was before me. I did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave his testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man who comes to see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God.
Right. Let's have another song, Worthy is the Lamb. Going to pray together, and this is going to be more our intercessory prayers. And of course, I don't know what the situation is with many of you here, and I just allow a time for you to make your own prayers, but there's much as a church that we can pray for. We sang in one of our songs, and scripture teaches us that when we become Christians, we become kings and priests. And the job of a priest is to intercede. And we have a job to intercede for our nation. We should be praying for our nation. We should be praying for people. That is our responsibility. And one day, we don't want to be questioned, do we? And say, the question put to us, why didn't you pray for that situation? Why didn't you pray for those people? Why didn't you pray for those people who were in desperate need? And we have to say, well, we just didn't think. It was our responsibility. But you see, as priests, we have to come and intercede and pray for people. And we're going to pray this morning. We're going to pray for the people of this fellowship who need special prayers at this time. And again, I leave it to you to pray for them in your own hearts and in your own mind, and we bring them before you, Father, and we pray for these people who, Lord, perhaps are finding life a little bit of a struggle at this time. Or they may be going through difficult times, Lord, and perhaps it's only known to them. For people perhaps who are here this morning who are perhaps a little weary and heavy laden with different things in life. And Lord, as your people, we come before you and we pray for each other, and we ask that you will enable each one of us, Lord, to be able to pray and to help and to bring these people before your throne of grace. We pray for any who are poorly at this time, and for any who are unwell. And we think of those who are away, Lord, from this fellowship, whether they're on holiday or whether they're visiting family. We just commend them to you and ask that you will keep them safe. We pray especially for Jeff and Heather as they are away, and whatever they're doing, Lord, make your face shine upon them and be near to them. We pray for Sheila and Michael, Lord, not here this morning. You know the reason, but we just commend them to you. And any other folk, Lord, that would have been here, but because of some other pressing duty or some other reason, Lord, they're unable to come. We just commend them into your love and into your care. We come and we pray for this village of Abersham, Lord, and all the people that live within the parish, and all those, Lord, who perhaps have no thought of you, and they have no desire to come here. They have no desire to want to worship you or even come to know you, Lord. We just commend these people to you. We pray for this village, and that there may be, Lord, a movement of your spirit among the hearts of the people of the village, and they may warm to this place, and they may want to come along and hear, Lord, what a wonderful message that we have for them about a Saviour and a Lord. We pray for, Lord, those who are in authority over us. And at this time, Lord, there seems to be so much chaos in the world and in our country and in our nation and in the hearts of people, Lord. And so we have to bring these people to you and pray for them and commend them into your care and into your hands, and ask, Lord, that you will give them the grace and the knowledge, Lord, to do what is right and to seek the path of righteousness at all times. We just bring them into your love and your care. We pray for all our young people, Lord. There's so many young people who over the past couple of weeks have been taking exams, and Lord, they've been studying hard, and Lord, there's lots of pressure put upon our young people. We just pray for them, Lord. Lift them before your throne, and Lord, we ask that you will work out your purpose in their lives. We long to see young people come into the knowledge of yourself, Lord. Young people who have been brought up in an age, Lord, when they haven't been encouraged to go to church or Sunday school or to get involved in anything, Lord, which belongs to a fellowship or a church. We just pray, Lord, for these young people. Bring them before you. Lift them up before your throne. And Lord, we thank you that there are things happening with young people in this nation. We thank you that there are holiday clubs, and that there are camps, and there are festivals that they can go to. And we just pray that you will bless the Christian workers, Lord, who work among young people. We know we have them here in North Devon, and we commend them to you, Lord. And pray for them. and lift them to you. Because we bring our prayers this morning, Lord, in that lovely name of Jesus, the name that we love so much and means so much to us. And Lord, we bring our prayers in his name, and together we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Right, one more song before we look at God's word together, and it's Worthy, O Worthy Are You, Lord. Words are coming up. To be thanked and praised and worshipped and our topic this morning is pointing the way to Jesus, okay? Fast subject. And I don't know how Jeff, when he sent it to me, how he envisioned me or what was expecting me to say, but I hope that I'm going along the right lines of what he wanted me to bring to you, and I hope that you get a blessing from it. Okay? So, as we look at this subject, I want to start off by giving you three illustrations. Is that okay? Three stories. I always think good stories, good illustrations help, don't you? Well, first of all, I need to say that before I give my illustrations, I always find it difficult where to do one-to-one with people and speak to them about the Lord Jesus. I don't know how you find it. How do you find it? But I always find it a little bit difficult. You know, I'd rather stand up and preach in front of 500 people than go and knock on one door. Does that surprise you or no? You know, I find that very often when I get talking to people, I get tongue-tied. And sorry?
I can't imagine that.
You can't imagine it? Well, I do. And I sometimes have to, it worries me sometimes because I know some people are so good at this sort of thing, but I'm not so good at it. Now, we used to have a friend, and he was a church ringing vicar. And he was one of these very old doddery vicars. Do you know the type that you see on television? And he was just like that. But he was a lovely, lovely Christian man. And, you know, he would go up to anyone and just talk to them. And just talk to them about the Lord Jesus. We were on a holiday with him once, and he was at an airport. And he was just standing beside somebody. And he just started talking to this person so naturally about the Lord Jesus. And then he'd always take out a little booklet, and give them and say, "Would you like to read this?" He used to go up to them and say, "I wonder if I could just talk to you for a moment about my best friend." And, you know, it was so natural. And I just thought to myself, oh, I wish I could do that. I wish I could do that. I find it very difficult, you know. I sort of have had to develop my own way of doing speaking to people. Now, my second illustration is, a couple of weeks ago, we went to a place near Hay-on-Wye. I wanted to go and see a certain grave. And we decided to go. When we were up that way, and we drove to the place, it was we found the grave in a graveyard, and fortunate enough, the church was open, and there was a notice outside, teas, food being served, you know, and so we said, well, let's go in and have tea, and so we went in, and we were really amazed at what we saw, because it was a very old parish church, but they'd taken out all the pews. And they put in a new kitchen, and they had done it out, and it was just like going into a cafe. Lovely. Absolute beautiful. And they had lovely cakes and lovely food they were doing. And they had a mezzanine up above the church, and up there, the village library had moved in. And they use it for youth clubs and for elderly people for lunches. This is all in a little small village in the country. And they have mothers and toddlers there, and they do lots of meals. And it was really good. And I got talking to people. I'm a good talker, I know that. But I got talking to the people, and they said to me, oh, well, we've had a lot of lottery money to do all this because we call it the hub. You know, it's the hub of the village, and of course you can get money for that sort of thing. Now, that's a good thing to get somebody to preach on. Should we use lottery money in furthering God's kingdom? Okay, you want to ask Jeff? Give him a difficult subject and ask him to preach on that. Go on, get there. Yeah, should we do it? I don't know. I leave you to decide that. But anyhow, when we sat there was this girl sat there, a young lady. The big girl she was, and she was having quite a bit to say, and I was talking to her, and I said, "Do you come here?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "They employ me for 30 hours a week to do the cooking." So I said, "Oh, that's great. That's wonderful." I said, "Are you a member of the church?" "No," she said, "I don't come to church. I've got nothing. I don't have anything to do with the church. I don't believe in anything." So I thought, well, what am I going to say to somebody like this? So I thought, "Well, I'm really disappointed about that." She said, "Well, why is that?" I said, "Well, when I get to heaven, you won't be there." And she looked at me and she said, "Well, no, because I don't believe in life after death. I believe that when you die, that's it." So I said to her, "Well," I said, "so you think then that over the past 2,000 years, all the people who have believed in Jesus and have accepted him and believe that they're going to have eternal life, they've been misled?" And she looked at me, and she didn't say much then. She said, "Well, I don't believe. I believe once you're dead, you're dead." I said, "Oh, that's sorry." you feel like that about it. I said, well, you're brought up in Sunday school, because she had a lovely Welsh accent. And it was on the Welsh border. And she said, yeah. I said, I love the Welsh. I love the singing. What do you like about the Welsh? I said, I love the chapels and the singing and all that sort of. And we were talking. I said, I tell you what, what's your name? She said, Jane, with a Y. So I said, well, Jane, would you mind if I prayed for you? And she said, no, I'd like that. And she didn't believe anything, but she would like me to pray for her. So I said, right, we'll pray for you, Jane. And I believe that God will open your eyes. And on the day he does that, you will remember the conversation that we have had here. So mornings in our prayer times, Carol and myself pray for Jane. I shall never see her again. But I hope that by that little witness, you know, I will meet her perhaps in eternity. And I just think in this, you know, that's one of my ways of communicating with people. And if you, you know, find that you haven't got anybody to pray for, we'll pray for Jane. I don't know what her surname is. We'll call her Big Jane, shall we? Because she was a big girl. But anyhow, you just pray for Jane that she may see the light. Just one more illustration, then I'll get on with preaching, okay? Guess what? I was sat on my patio or on our front veranda with Carolyn the other Saturday morning, having mid-morning coffee, and up the drive walked two men. Very smart. Aha! You say, you know. They came up and I said, I know what you're here for. Now, I always got a good way with Jehovah's Witnesses, because I think we shouldn't be rude to them, or, you know, let's be gracious to them. And I just say to them, I don't know why you're coming to me. Don't waste your time here, because we both love the Lord Jesus. You know, you say that to them and it puts them on. Well, of course, one of the men opened his mouth and started talking. And, of course, I recognised his accent. He came from South Africa. And, of course, that was the wrong thing to say to me, just coming back from South Africa, wasn't it? Because he, for the next 20 minutes, had my holiday. And I was able to tell him and bore him to tears and all that. And so he didn't get much in, but I was just, every now and then I would just say to him, well, so do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus is Lord? And then I'd talk about something else, you know? And in the end, he said to Carolyn, you need to read Psalm 100 and something, didn't he? 143, verse 9. And Carolyn said, oh, yes. And then Carolyn said, yeah, have you read verse 10? And Carolyn was able to tell him what was in verse 10. Well, of course, you can imagine how he felt. Well, we parted on good friends. But see, you know, be gracious. Well, you know, we have different approaches, don't we? Of how we meet people, how we talk to them about the Lord Jesus. And it is the most important thing, if we are Christians, you know, it's our deepest longing, isn't it, to see other people come to know Jesus. Yeah, that should be our deepest longing. And although we often get tongue-tied, and when the opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus, we sometimes miss that opportunity when it's staring us in the face. You know, it's good for us just to remember that it's our most important thing to tell somebody about Jesus. And I expect you've all experienced this in your own lives. For as Christians, our life's ministry is pointing people to Jesus. Witnessing to them, that's just as important. Speaking to them and living the life. That's a way to point people to Jesus. Now, I'm going to briefly look at this little chapter that Linda read to us about John the Baptist and his ministry, because the central point of John the Baptist's ministry was to point people to Jesus. That's why he came. And in verse 8 of chapter 1, he said, John himself was not the light, he was simply a witness to tell about the light. That's John chapter 1, verse 8. That's why he came. He was not the light. He was not the light. He was the one who'd come to point people to the light. And John makes it clear in his own testimony that he was pointing people to Jesus. And there's a good lesson for us to learn here. The best testimonies are the ones that are personal testimonies. If you can say, I've experienced something, it works out far more powerful than anything else. And I'll say more about that later. So let's just have a quick look at this story, and we'll see what we can learn from it, okay? John the Baptist was making quite a stir, and the crowds of people were going to hear him preach. There was a revival going on, an incredible revival. Crowds of people were coming out of the towns to go and hear John the Baptist. He was unique. His preaching was different. His dress was different. He ate differently. His message was differently. And if you go back into the Gospel of Luke, and when they talk about the birth of John the Baptist, it says that he was full of the Holy Spirit. Now this is incredible how it says this. Before he was born. You know, it's incredible, isn't it? Whilst he was a fetus, he was full of the Holy Spirit. John was an incredible man. And because of this, you know, the questions went round, who is this man? Which is only natural. Who is this man? So the high priests and at Jerusalem decided to send a delegation to find out who John the Baptist was. And these men, they came from Jerusalem, they met John the Baptist, and at the very beginning of their interrogation, John made it plain to them. He said, listen, I am not the Messiah. And so they went on. You find this in verse 20, what we read together. He came right out and said to them, I am not the Messiah. And they asked him, who are you? Are you the Messiah? He came out, he said, no, I'm not the Messiah. Well, are you Elijah? Some believe that Elijah would appear again before the Messiah came. And see, you must understand that these religious people were looking for the Messiah. It was important to them because they wanted someone to come and throw off the Roman yoke. So, you know, they were looking for a Messiah, and they were saying, well, are you Elijah? Because some people believe that it says in scriptures that Elijah had come before the Messiah. And he said, no, I'm not Elijah. Just a sideline here. Now, this is only a sideline, and I'm not preaching on this. But, you know, there are some Christians who believe that before the second coming, and Elijah's going to come. Okay? But I'll leave you with that to look it up and to read about it, because, you know, my mind's open. Are you one of the prophets? He said, no, I'm not. Are you Isaiah? No. Well, you dress and behave like these old prophets. Who are you? And I like the way that John answers that. You know, and can I paraphrase it a little bit? Because I think it's so lovely. He just says to them in a lovely sort of way, I'm just a person shouting in the wilderness, clear the way, the Lord's coming. Isn't that lovely? I just think that's, you know, he wasn't aggressive with them. He just said, hey, I'm just a person shouting in the wilderness, make way for the Lord's coming. I'm just a person living in Abersham who's saying to the people, make way, because the Lord's coming. I'm just a person living in Northam in North Devon, who's just saying, hey, make way. Remember, the Lord's coming. And then these religious people, they just couldn't get it into their minds, you know. They couldn't understand who he was and what he was doing, you know. Well, why are you baptizing if you are not the Messiah? Why are you baptizing people? You know, what rights have you got to do it? You know, I've had people say to me, this is true. What rights have you got, Eric, to do communion? Because you're not an ordained minister. You're not a vicar. What rights have you got to lead communion? And I know that some places where I've led communion, that some people have got up and gone out. Because I've led it. Because I'm not ordained. You know, the mindset of some people, it's incredible what they think, you know. And if they say to me, well, why do you do it? I say, well, Jesus just said that when you come together, take bread and wine, you know. Simple, like that. Why do I need to be somebody else? So simple. And this is for John the Baptist. No, why are you baptizing? Why are you doing all these things? John Baptist said to them, hey, there's somebody standing here who I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. There's somebody here, and you're going to see him, and he's going to be the one. Now, it's wonderful to think that they've put that in Scripture about untying the sandals. Because there's something very profound about that. You see, when a person came and visited somebody, you know this. There's no need for me really to tell you this. But when a visitor came in Eastern countries and they called on somebody's house, the host always washed their feet because they walked and the walls were dusty. Okay? Now, I'm going to divert just a little bit, but when I was nursing, we used to have an old sister and a lovely, lovely lady, very strict, very professional, liked everything done right. And I remember her saying, one of the best things that you can do for a patient is to wash their feet. But it makes them feel really comfortable. Anyhow, that's just an aside. But when somebody came to your house, you'd wash their feet. Now, the slave of the house was allowed only to untie the laces. He was not allowed to take the sandal off the man's foot. Because a slave was not allowed to touch anyone. Do you see? That's why John says that he was not worthy. He was not worthy to untie even the lace. And so a slave would come, untie the lace, because you know it's quite a lot of lace, but he wasn't allowed to touch the person. And then the host of the house would come and take the sandal off the person and wash the feet. And John was saying, do you know, I'm less than a slave. When there's this man, Jesus. You know, that's a wonderful, wonderful attitude to be in. I'm less than a slave to Jesus. And John's ministry was powerful, you know. He touched many people. John's ministry changed many lives. Yet John remembered all the time that his role was just to point people to Jesus. No matter who he was and what he could do, all he had to do was to point people to Jesus. And he was such a humble man. Such a humble man. Now, God calls us to do different things. We all got our own talents. We all follow Jesus. He's put us into a a family of friends. He's put us into a family. He's put us where we can make acquaintances. Why? Simply to point people to the Messiah and to clear the path for those who know and find the Lord. That's our job. That's our job. Now, time's gone, and I've got a lot more to say, but I'm not going to say it because otherwise I should be here. You know about the sandals. You know about untying the sandal, which is important. Then John turns around and he says, listen, behold the Lamb. And these people who come from Jerusalem would have known what he was saying, because they knew all about the sacrifice. They came from the temple. And the sacrifice was, you know, the center. The center of worship in Jerusalem. And he said, behold the man. Behold the Lamb. The Lamb who is going to come and take away the sin of the world. Just pointing them to the Lord Jesus. And you know, that's our duty. To point people to the Saviour in the most humble and easy and lovely way. Say, look, he's the Lamb of God. He's the one who takes away the sin of the world. You know, I've got four little points just to finish off, which may help you. Pulling all our thoughts together. And I hope that these, in a practical way, may be able to help you in this coming week. You know, first of all, John gave a testimony. He was pointing the way to Jesus. One of the things that we need is a testimony in our lives. Our own Christian faith. What we believe has to be relevant, alive and real. In other words, first hand. And if we haven't got that, you know, we can never point anybody to Jesus. We have to tell people, secondly, what, like John, who Jesus is. That he's everything to us. That we belong to him. I am his, and he is mine. It's not what I've done. Is who he is. Just like John said, I'm not worthy to untie his lace. You know, in the Christian life, it's all about grace. We are what we are because of the grace of God. It's not what we've earned. It's all about him. John pointed him to people to the Lamb of God. We have to point people to Jesus, who is the answer to our sins. God provided his own Son to be the sacrifice. It's only through Jesus that we can know God. That's the answer. And that's what we have to point. And thirdly, John said, I saw. Something happened. It was tangible. It's not something I've made up. I know it's real. I've experienced it. It's relevant in my life today. So when we look to Jesus and we point people to Jesus, it must be real in our lives. And it must be true. You know, you can understand John standing there preaching away, and all of a sudden he says, listen, behold the Lamb of God. Just look to him. Just look, and that's it. That's the gospel message. That's what we should be telling people. To find faith in Jesus. Not believing because I believe it. Not believing because I've read it in a book. Believe it because it's true. Telling people it's true because I've experienced it. And you know, the more you point the way to Jesus, through your own testimony, the more you will find that your Christian life will build up and be stronger. That's incredible, isn't it? The more we tell, the more we point people to Jesus, the stronger our Christian life will be. Just pray that those simple thoughts may be a blessing to you this week. We're going to finish with a closing hymn? Yeah? And it's going to be a lovely hymn, and then we're going to have a cup of coffee together. Just pray, Lord, as we go into this new week, that we may tell people, point people to yourself. And it may be through our witness and by the things we say and the things we do, people may come to love you, because this is our desire, to see more and more people come into a knowledge of yourself. So bless us, Lord, as we go. Keep us safe. And guide us through this coming week. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.